The word courage tends to stir up imagery reserved for soldiers and saints. Courage, we believe, belongs to the warrior who aggresses the enemy with a sword. Or courage belongs to the Christian statesman who takes on his critics without flinching. But according to Chuck Swindoll, courage is often silent. It's the quiet resolve to do what's right when no one's looking, to stand for holiness no matter the consequence. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck present another compelling message from the classic series on the sanctity of life. His sermon is titled, A Time for Strong Resolve.
Courage is just another word for inner strength. Courage is the determination to hang in there, to persevere, endure hardship, fear, and all manner of difficulty. The fact is, it's impossible to live victoriously for Jesus Christ without courage. We cannot honor God in a godless culture without courage. The real test of courage isn't so much for those fighting on the battlefield, or for witnessing in the midst of opposition, or even facing down a burglar in our homes. Real courage demands a strong resolve that goes much deeper than all of that and is much more demanding. Be assured that in some way your resolve will be tested today and every day. Your test of courage may not be as exciting as a beachhead landing or sailing around Cape Horn or making a spacewalk. Instead, it may be as simple as saying no to an improper invitation. It may be as uneventful as facing a pile of laundry with a positive attitude. It may be a private or unknown struggle within yourself between right and wrong. Remember, God's Medal of Honor winners are made in secret because our most courageous acts occur down deep inside, away from the view of the general public. That takes courage. It takes a strong resolve. I think that's why the Apostle Peter issues us a warning in his first letter, the final chapter. Listen to his pressing warning, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To download the outline notes for today's sermon, go to insightworld.org. Chuck Swindoll's message is titled, A Time for Strong Resolve.
For the past 7 days, I have gotten my eyes open to another world. I haven't been alone in that experience. A number of our pastoral staff members and wives were with me as we concentrated our time, energy, and attention on a rather sizable group of ministers and their mates. It was a time of a great reward, and it was quite revealing, quite honestly. It was also a time of real draining of energy. And I must admit, there were occasions when it was a bit discouraging. We listened to stories of great success and joyful experiences as God had given his blessing and his growth and his favor to certain ministries. And we sighed with those who told their stories of pain and brokenness and loneliness. As expected, we heard one account after another of how legalism had eclipsed grace. And in spite of the efforts of a faithful minister to teach the truth about God's wonderful freedom that comes through Christ, it seems as though the enemy is still winning some victories. Matter of fact, the last morning we were together, Cynthia and I having breakfast, one of the men stopped by to express gratitude to all of us who had participated in the leadership of this pastor's conference, and he said, as he requested prayer for his future in the church that God had led him to lead, he said in years past he had begun to see the grace of God. And he had become bold enough to preach the grace of God, and it was frowned upon by his particular community. And as a matter of fact, a number in the church began to question his teaching, and no less than 300 of them had left rather abruptly when he decided it was time to get specific about the grace of God, to free people from the bondage of traditionalism. Those 300 left not because he was in doctrinal error or because he was morally defecting from the faith, but rather because he announced publicly it would now be all right for Christian women to wear pants. They didn't have to wear dresses or skirts. They could wear pants. He lost his choir some years later, along with all those in music leadership, and he permitted the singing of new songs, one of which is the great piece, Majesty. That was just too much for some of them, and they left. Yes, our hearts were broken over stories like that. Not all of them were that dramatic. Our theme for the conference was a time to renew your joy. And I'm hoarse today, not because I preached all week, not just because of that, but because I laughed with them all week. It was great to see some of them laugh for the first time in a public meeting. One layman said it had been almost 2 years since he had laughed out loud in his church. And he said, "This week I've made up for the next 5 years and the fun we've had together." We deliberately had fun and laughed and enjoyed the Lord together and opened his word to the theme of grace. And some of them just sat and wept. It was great to be with them. They were so open, so teachable, so warm. Some of them in tough places. One man told of how his mentor, who had taught him so much of his theology in his formative years, had recently turned on him because the man had, in studying the scriptures, come to the realization that he no longer believed a person was saved by being baptized. And he no longer believed that once you came to know the Lord Jesus, you could lose your salvation. And when he publicly testified against baptismal regeneration and when he spoke of eternal security, at the close of the service, that mentor came forward and publicly discredited him and said, "The man is a deceiver and cannot be trusted." Yes, there were also accounts of moral defection as well. One man told of being in the unhappy place of confronting a longtime fellow minister with his moral failure. And the deeper they dug, the more they uncovered and found that the man had been living a life of duplicity for 25 or more years. Adultery with women on the side and preaching with vigor every Sunday. And as a matter of fact, is still engaged in ministry. And the man spoke, holding back the tears, as he and his wife talked of how they have become the marked people because they are the ones that are negative rather than the ones standing for the truth. What a privilege it was to be in a new scene and to talk to people who were all the way north, far as north as Canada and as far south as Jamaica, and from most of the states in these great United States, and to rub shoulders with some of the great men in ministry. The authenticity and the joy were wonderful. We were from all varying personalities and temperaments, and yet our last time together, we arm in arm stood in that place and we sang, "We are one in the bond of love," and we closed with the Lord's Prayer. As the conference came to a close and Cynthia and I winged our way home along with our other staff members that were there, the Lord began to impress on me three or four thoughts that I have not been able to ignore. They sort of kept me awake through the night thinking about speaking today to all of you. First, I thought of this. The enemy is hard at work. And this is no time to slacken our efforts. If indeed the enemy is at work in secular places, I can assure you he is alive and well in the church. He is at work assaulting and assassinating the lives of men who were once strong in the pulpit. He is cutting the feet out from under individuals who were once effective and full of zeal and courageous songs and sermons. The enemy is hard at work. If he's done anything in this final decade, he has rolled up his sleeves and intensified his efforts, hopefully to discredit those who now have integrity. Second, I thought, the pressure and the needs are enormous on people of all walks of life. Have you begun to notice that? It's especially true of those who are engaged in some kind of spiritual leadership. You may be in music leadership, or you may be in teaching leadership, or you may be in missions or educational leadership. But if you are a Christian and you are influencing people for the cause and the good of Christ, you are under pressure. Perhaps like you've never known before. My Bible is open to a couple of verses of Scripture from Peter's pen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 seem to say it better than I, in all of my struggling efforts, can say them. Listen to these words and let them sink in, though they are familiar. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Why? Why does he say that with such passion? Why does he write that with such a heavy pen? Because your adversary. It isn't the adversary of some distant body of prelates, some small group of influential leaders who are doing the work of ministry. Your adversary, fellow Christian, fellow minister, fellow leader, fellow teacher, fellow elder, fellow deacon, your adversary, Christian parent, Christian leader, Christian businessman or woman, your adversary, the devil, look at his method, prowls about, isn't marching to some heavy cadence, invisibly, insidiously, cleverly, brilliantly, with stealth and strategy. Your adversary prowls about like a roaring lion, and he is on a pursuit. He is deliberately seeking someone to devour. Put your name in place of someone. I'll do that. Like a roaring lion, he is seeking to devour Chuck Swindoll or the Swindoll family or the integrity of the Swindoll name. You do that with your name and with your family. He deliberately is prowling about to ruin, to discredit, to take the ring from your voice and the power from your influence. So be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Now, what do I do with an enemy like that? This is no day for a wimp. I don't know that it's ever been so for people in ministry. As I read through history, I find that It's just from one battle to another as the church has stood against all odds. This is certainly no time for hiding. Resist him is the command, and doing it firm in faith, not in the energy of your own strength, but firm in faith, knowing that you're not alone. The verse concludes, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And I've got a whole new group of brethren that I didn't know 10 days ago who are in the same world I'm in, the same world you're in, and they're going through the same stuff we're going through. We're in this together for the long haul, for the cause of Christ. I also thought of this, thirdly, the temptation to overreact is great, perhaps greater than ever. By overreacting, I mean just giving in. The pressure mounts. Greater and greater tests come, and it's easy to just succumb, to sort of quietly surrender, to compromise the message. Just don't make waves. Just keep the peace at any price. Or another reaction is to fight back with a bigger fist. And if you're being shouted at, shout back. If you're being accused, accuse in return. If you're being assaulted, then roll up your sleeves and find a way to assault in an even more evil manner. Or simply the ultimate overreaction is to quit. Just fold up the book and go into some other work. Just get away from the pressure. It is a little frightening, men and women, for me to realize afresh how many ministers today in confusion are whipped like dogs or intimidated by a few powerful people in their church. It's a little frightening for me to remember how many today minister from hearts that are angry or even bitter. If God ever wanted to do a significant work, it is now. It is now. Some of us, by grace, have seen the beginning of the century. But to see the end of it, these may very well be your last days. How important not to end them in a whimper or with a sigh. Which leads me to the fourth and causes me to move into the message that I really have from the Lord today for all of us. This is a time for strong resolve. It's a time for strong resolve. We cannot, we dare not just sit back and sort of hope for the best. You with small children, you cannot simply fold your hands or go out into the workplace and just earn enough money to give them the best and hope they turn out right. They need attention and training and time and discipline and love and care and affection. They need it deliberately from parents. They need touch. They need affirmation. They need presence. This is a time of strong resolve. It is a time of strong resolve for people in pulpits, for those who write music, for those who put into pages of books truth for the next generation to read. Billy Graham's perhaps best book, released back in the late 60s, was entitled World Aflame. I have quoted from this before, but it's worth repeating. In a declining culture, says the evangelist, one of its characteristics is that ordinary people are unaware of what is happening. Only those who know and can read the signs of decadence are posing the questions that as yet have no answer. Mr. Average Man is comfortable in his complacency, and as unconcerned as a silverfish, ensconced on a carton of discarded magazines on world affairs. He is not asking any questions because his social benefits from the government give him a false security. This is his trouble and his tragedy. Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television screen without becoming involved. He watches the ominous events while he sips his beer in a comfortable chair. He does not understand that his world is on fire and that he is about to be burned with it. Now, understand as I present to you a number of resolutions that I am not advocating that leadership take on an iron fist or that there no longer be vulnerability among those who are God's spokesmen and women. I'm not suggesting that there be influence by intimidation or by mind control or by verbal threats. You know me well enough to know that I stand against everything that represents. I'm not calling for bullies in pulpits or for unteachable and inaccessible teachers in places of importance. But first and foremost, I want to promote the idea of modeling truth. Authenticity, as always, patterning our lives after the one who came before us and has gone on beyond us. Jesus Christ, who came, remember, full of grace and truth. Perfect balance. But we need strong resolve. I don't think Christians can survive the next 10 years, certainly as the events on the horizon begin to emerge into reality. I don't think we can survive sort of yawning our way through the decade, taking our cues from the media. Ours has become a soft generation, men and women, a generation of greed, a generation of self-satisfaction. For whatever reason, we are now more prone to give up or take a path of least resistance. I hope you can say, as you watch my life and as you hear my words, and as you read what I write in the coming decade, I hope you can say there is a man who has not slackened or surrendered or quit the path of obedience. I hope that. I so resolve.
That's our commitment to you at Insight for Living, coming straight from our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll. We remain resolved to stay the course, to strive for holiness and purity, and to continue what we've done for more than 35 years. That mission, of course, is to make disciples of Jesus and to raise His name above all names. Along with you, we believe it's our role to declare His name, not only by radio, but through any means possible. To find out more or to give your support, go to insightworld.org. Now, in this spirit, we've prepared a devotional book for you, designed to help you embrace and celebrate 30 names of Jesus, all coming from Scripture. I'll explain how you can get a copy in just a moment. Chuck?
Most of us were given at least three names at our birth: our first name, our middle name, and our last. For a lifetime, those titles are attached to our identity. But when you stop and think about it, they don't really define our personality or explain our character. The names ascribed to Jesus, however, are far more profound. Perhaps more than 200 names for Him appear in both the Old and New Testaments. Names like Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star, as well as Emmanuel, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Oh, wonderful names to describe our Savior. For more than 35 years, Insight for Living has passionately proclaimed the names of Jesus, using every means possible. And we're committed to doing so well into the new year and far beyond that one. But we cannot do it alone. Your financial partnership is critically important. Believe me when I tell you that. Please be certain to include Insight for Living as you give generously. First to your local church, and then to the ministries that touch your life. Your special end-of-the-year gift is received today with great gratitude and immediately put to work to unleash the good news to all who will hear. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can choose one of three avenues. If you're listening in the United States, give us a call right now at 1-800-772-8888. You can also go online and make a donation at insight.org. Again, that's insight.org. When you give today, we'll say thank you by providing the devotional book called Names of Jesus. It features 30 names and 30 chapters, an original book coming from the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. Well, the clock is ticking toward Christmas, now just 1 week away, and the days are counting down to December 31st, your last opportunity to make a tax-deductible gift for 2014. As Chuck said, be sure to invest in your local church first, and then as God leads, and as this has become a place where you draw spiritual encouragement, please include Insight for Living among the ministries you support. The needs are urgent, and the time is so short. Thanks so much for your partnership with us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, you can give your donation at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Tune in again Friday when Chuck Swindoll's classic series on the sanctity of life continues on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Time for Strong Resolve, was copyrighted in 1990 and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.